I would like to call upon Her Grace Nartaki Mataji to kindly make her offering. Jainitai Prabhu was mentioning about the impact Srila Prabhupada has had in every city, including London. Actually, Srila Prabhupada not only translated the Srimad Bhagavatam, but actually manifested the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And those purports become a reality when we actually see his life and its impact. In the story of Dhruva Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada mentions, when Dhruva controlled his breath with an intense desire to please the Lord and see the Lord, it affected the whole universe, including the demigods, whose breath stopped. Everyone was affected. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, this is the power of a pure devotee. What to speak of if a person's desire is very pure and selfless? What kind of an impact it can actually have? Srila Prabhupada ki!
In 1985, our god sister Guri found out that she had a reoccurrence of cancer and had another 4 to 5 months to live. So at that time we were close together because we were distributing books together. She wanted immediately to go to Vrindavan Dham and wanted to pass away where Prabhupada had passed away, in remembrance of Prabhupada, taking darshan of Prabhupada's deities every day. So Radha Shamsunda, Krishna Balaram, and Sisi Gurinitai. So we went to Vrindavan Dham at that time. Previously, Gauri had been in Boston, and there was deities installed, little Sisi Gopi Balab, not Gopi Jana Balab. Most of the devotees here know Gopi Jana Balab, but this one were Gopi Balab deities. And because she was the head pujari, she was sitting next to Prabhupada during the installation. And somehow the dress of Srimati Radharani didn't fit her very well. It was too tight. So she became very nervous, and finally she had to cut off mezim a little bit to make it fit. And because she was so nervous, Prabhupada saw that. He took her hand and he guided her how to put it on nicely. So later on, she was in Brooklyn and she distributed Prabhupada's books. And she was very enthusiastic, particularly distributing the Krishna book at that time. And it came to Prabhupada's attention. And I'm going to read the exact words to you. He sent a letter to Rupa Nuga. Your Sankirtan reports are very encouraging, especially that one girl, Gauri Dasi, who has set an all ISKCON women's record of 108 books. That was 108 books in a day. This is very wonderful. Formerly, this would have been considered impossible, but now, by Krishna's grace, everything is becoming possible. So then, in 1975, she moved to Dwarka and she distributed books there, but she also had some artistic abilities. So at one point, Srila Prabhupada noticed that the books that he translated weren't produced very fast, so he became very upset, and he wanted 17 volumes, I think it was 17 volumes, of Chaitanya Charitamrita to be done in 2 months. And previously, the artists in Los Angeles, they were only producing one painting per month per artist, and there may have been like 20 artists at most, something like that. And so now they had to work around the clock. And also previously, each artist finished their own painting. But now they were had to be detached. Oh, this is my painting. They had to paint around the clock. So when the one artist would take some rest in the same studio, just on the floor, a little rest, the other artists would take over from there and keep on painting until the painting was finished. But one was majorly done by Gauridasi, and that was the Gundicha marginal painting. And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, this is very nice when he saw it. Oh, this is very nice. And then some of the senior artists that were painting all the time, because her main service was book distribution, but she was just helping out because of this marathon, they found some technical faults, and Srila Prabhupada said, this is all right. The reader will appreciate the devotional spirit behind it. And I think we all do. We don't see the technical things so much. So now we were in Vrindavan Dham, in the second room from the outside. Like when you go into the guest room, on the right side there's Prabhupada's quarters, and on the left side you go on the outside. The second room was where she asked to stay, and to be near Prabhupada's quarters, and always remember, and to be downstairs also, where if she would be incapacitated, that we could take her to the darshan easily. So she had never been married, and actually her whole consciousness was like her whole life when she came to Krishna consciousness was a dedication to Srila Prabhupada. And now, of course, since she had the terminal illness, she was all the more meditating on remembering Srila Prabhupada. Many god brothers and god sisters came, but she had somehow the desire to also meet with some, to get some solace, some counseling from some senior Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. So after some time, actually she had an operation in the West, and they saw that nothing could be done. It was already metastasized all over the abdomen. So they just informed her. And so after the operation, she was bedridden. But then in Vrindavan, once again, she rejuvenated from the operation. And she started getting up. And we were taking her to darshan. Then we were even going on the parikramarg. So as we were going on the parikramarg from behind, there's a place which was called Nitanivas, and there was Bhagaji, one of Prabhupada's friends living there. I think he was a little younger than Prabhupada, not much. And Prabhupada very much liked him, and he was very... So we visited him, and he preached to Gauri a lot, and he was talking about Prabhupada, and Gauri found a lot of solace in that. He was telling us how he had been serving Srila Prabhupada. He had almost like a natural inclination to glorify Srila Prabhupada. He told us that in his childhood he had an Irish headmaster, and who wanted the children always to be westernized. So then, when he later on retired in Vrindavan and he was with Prabhupada, Prabhupada came back from the West with his Western disciples who were chanting Hare Krishna and who were adopting the culture and philosophy and religion, the Dharma, from India. He was so amazed, he couldn't believe it. So he understood that it was Prabhupada's potency and Prabhupada's expert preaching and his compassion, particularly. He could understand that Prabhupada was especially being sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna consciousness. He also told us when Prabhupada had the heart attack on the Jaladuta that Lord Krishna came to massage his chest. So just whatever he said was just so going deep into the heart of Gauri, and you could see on her face it helped her to encourage her to approach the final test, her own test. So to become fearless, and how Srila Prabhupada had preached. Of course, we cannot do all the way like Prabhupada can, but at least that example is there that we can reach out for going in that direction. Prabhupada had asked Bhagavad-ji to help previously to help train his disciples in Krishna consciousness. He had actually asked several, and later on I come to that also. But also how to manage the Krishna Balaram Mandir. He was very expert. Prabhupada said he was very expert in property investigation, negotiation, and purchase. Bhagavad-ji negotiated the purchase of the Gurukula plot next to the Krishna Balaram and helped establish the management for that. He also purchased the land of the Goshala and bought the first cows. He expressed that the services in ISKCON, the services that he did in ISKCON were an act of love and appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. When Gauri became even a little better, we went on the Parikramark to take darshan in different mandirs like Radha Damodar, Radha Raman, Radha Gokulananda. Near Radha Raman Mandir, there was the house of OBL Kapoor, Dr. OBL Kapoor, who is an initiated disciple of, he also passed away, is an initiated disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in other words, Srila Prabhupada's god brother. They were initiated a year apart from each other, and Prabhupada knew him from Allahabad. In Allahabad, Dr. Kapoor was then a student, and later he became a professor in philosophy and theology or so, and taught it in Agra at the university, and in Varanasi also. And so they were initiated a year from each other, and one became Abhay Charanaravind and Adi Keshav Das. They had a very affectionate relationship with each other. And after Prabhupada moved away from Allahabad, and Adi Keshav Prabhu was also moving, they didn't see each other for about 40 years. And then one day, when Prabhupada had come back from the West with his disciples in the early 70s, he was in Radha Damodar, and Adi Keshav Prabhu also came to Radha Damodar. And they saw each other. And of course, 40 years, if you can imagine, time has taken its toll, so they couldn't. It was difficult for them to recognize each other. But then Prabhupada says, Adi Keshava was saying, Abhay Babu? And he said, yes. And because now Prabhupada had, previously he was a grahasta, but now he was wearing saffron dhoti of a sannyas. And so then they embraced each other, and they were sitting down together and spoke to each other. And then Prabhupada told him everything, how he had gone to the West, and he started preaching, and that now Western disciples had come back. And he asked them, please help me to train these young Western men and women. So I need some help. And he was very happy. So he helped then Prabhupada quite a lot. And he gave an address to the Western disciples, and Prabhupada very much appreciated it. You know, that someone else would speak about how it all started, you know, and how the importance of Krishna consciousness. And he felt that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said one thing never changed with Srila Prabhupada, and that is that he's humble and simple. And even though now he had become the head and the leader of an international society organization and was preaching worldwide, He said, "I would have never imagined that he could be one day become Bhaktivedanta Swami. I could understand that he had the special mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the blessings of Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Jiva Goswami, because they were in the Radha Damodara Mandir." So he was saying that Prabhupada had the special blessings of these great Vaishnava Acharyas. In regards to Srila Prabhupada's humility and his attachment to the holy name, he told Gauri, "Abai Babu had a shop, so his medicines, some of his medicines he manufactured himself, and one day he was giving Adi Keshav Prabhu some medicine that he had made himself, and he was saying, 'Thank you very much for this gift, but can you please, I wish you could give me that tonic, which you also take yourself, and that is Krishna Prem.' And Abai Babu put his head down a little bit, and he said, 'I don't have that tonic, but I have the formula.' And then Adi Keshava Prabhu was saying, 'Oh, really? If it is not a secret, can you tell me that formula?' And Abai said, 'This is not at all a secret. Tunada pi sunichina, taro api. Taro iva sahishnuna amanina manadina kirtaniya sadahari. This is the formula, and I'm going to preach it all over the world.'" And then, of course, that was before he had left for... So Adi Keshav Prabhu didn't understand this then, but then he understood later on when he had come back, you know, that Prabhupada was actually planning for going to the West. And, you know, then he was just a simple grihastha, so he couldn't imagine that. But then afterwards, retrogress, he could understand that. Both Gauri and I agreed. And then one of the devotees also, Prabhavati Pishima. In fact, the other day when we went to Imlitala, I visited her because now she's so old that every time I come to Vrindavan, I wonder if I will see her next time I come to Vrindavan. So we went on Parikram, and I went, you know, Radha Gopinath Mandir is right, Imli Thala, Radha Gopinath Mandir is right straight, and on the right side, right next to the Thala, there is a little room where she is staying. Now this time she could not recognize me anymore, but she was also one of the ones that Prabhupada had asked to help train his women disciples. And I remember when she was still well and we were in Krishna Balaramandi, she used to come and teach us some preparations that you find listed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today I was cooking one of those ones, it was called Lavang Latik, so I'm remembering her also. And Gauri and I agreed to the observation of Adi Keshav Prabhu that Prabhupada was most humble, and because of that he was successful in his preaching. Commonly people think a humble person to be someone who's soft-spoken, tolerant of others' insults, non-retaliating, forgiving of others' wrongdoings. But Prabhupada gave an amazing definition of humility. He said, "Humility is to boldly preach Krishna consciousness all around the world. When one preaches the absolute truth in places surcharged with Raja and Tamagun, there will be certainly opposition." And that is our Srila Prabhupada. He, despite all the opposition, he continued to preach the absolute truth as an offering to Krishna. And that is real humility. Just by meditating on his transcendental qualities and activities, we will also become perfectly humble and always will chant, "Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." Jai Srila Prabhupada.